My name is Mike Morgan.
Thank you for taking time to study God's Word with us. The title of our message is My Hero, Samson. Our text, Judges 16, verses 26 through 28. My Hero, Samson. Who? Samson. The one that got mixed up with Delilah? That's right. You know, preacher, you normally do a halfway decent job, but I'm not sure about this one. Well, let me explain. Have you ever wondered, can God use me? Your past is worse than checkered. It is riddled with sin. Although forgiven of past sins through repentance and scriptural baptism, Satan assures you that you are not. The enemy of the soul gently whispers, sure, God used other people to accomplish His will, but you, my friend, are beyond hope. You hear sermons preached on great Bible characters like Abraham, Moses, Joseph, David, and Paul. Although these men were not perfect and made mistakes in their lives, they do not come close to the mess you made. Thoroughly convinced that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, the question still remains, can God use me? Our study in the book of Judges will answer this question. Samson is one of the most famous personalities in the Old Testament. He stands in a category all by himself. His life is filled with contrast between godliness and sin. He was the strongest weak man that ever lived. Samson's life did not accomplish any of the high hopes with which it began. His lack of discipline and dedication ruined him, and he died as a prisoner in the hands of the Philistines. Yet, his name appears in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32, beside other heroes of the faith. The fact that flawed people like Rahab, Jephthah, and Samson are listed among the faithful should give us hope that God can restore our empty, wasted years. This morning, we will discuss Samson's battle with the flesh and suggest some lessons we can learn from his mistakes. Judges chapter 13, verse 1. Again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. In his commentary, Studies in Judges, John L. Kekkelman notes, this seventh oppression was different than the previous six, because the enemies did not invade Israel in a military sense. Initially, the Philistines relied upon trade and commerce to keep the Israelites dependent upon the Philistines' supply source. Also, intermarriage between the Philistines and Israel compromised religious and moral values. Since there was no open hostility and the Philistines appeared to desire peace, Israel was lured into deception. The nation willingly accepted the Philistines' dominance and became apathetic. This is clearly seen when 3,000 Israelis came against Samson, charging him with causing trouble with Philistia. Judges chapter 15, verse 11. God realized the great danger that this kind of compromise presented, and thus Samson was raised up to fight a one-man war. This judge brought out into the open the animosity of the Philistines and the hatred and apathetic acceptance of Philistine domination. The life of Samson revolves around four women. First, his mother. Judges chapter 13, verses 1 through 25. Samson's mission in life was foretold even before his conception. The barren wife of Manoah was visited by the angel of the Lord with news that she would conceive a son who would begin the deliverance of Israel from Philistine oppression. Her son was to be a Nazarite. Not only was Samson's hair not to be cut, he was to abstain from wine and similar drink. He could not drink any grape juice or eat fresh grapes or raisins. During the pregnancy, Samson's mother was also commanded to be careful not to drink wine or similar drink and not to eat anything unclean. Is this not wise counsel for all women? To avoid alcoholic beverages and other harmful things during pregnancy, knowing that wine bites like a serpent and stings like a viper, God wanted Samson and his mother to avoid the appearance of evil. The second woman was the Timnite woman, Judges chapter 14, verse 1 through chapter 15, verse 20. At this point, we begin to notice the reckless attitude which would dominate the adult years of Samson. Samson met a Philistine woman and wanted to marry her. He deliberately chose to ignore the teachings of God and the objections of his parents to follow the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye. How many young people disregard God's word and wise counsel from parents in order to marry someone they are physically attracted to? Have you ever disregarded God's word and wise counsel in order to satisfy the flesh? Boy, I sure have. On the way to finalize the marriage, Samson remembers the incident with the lion and decides to make a bet with the men at the wedding feast. He gambles for 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothing. As a result of telling his bride to be the answer to the riddle, Samson loses the bet and was forced to kill 30 Philistines and relieve them of their clothes. I don't know anyone that has ever gained anything by gambling or making bets. Christians are commanded to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Those who trust the Lord must not sin against God by playing the lottery, betting on sporting events, and the like. Instead of replacing this disobedient judge, God continued to use him. There may be hope for me. The third woman was the harlot at Gaza, Judges chapter 16, verses 1 through 3. Samson allowed the lust of the flesh to lead him into danger once again. He yielded to the solicitation of a harlot. You would not expect to read such a thing about Moses, Daniel, Joseph, or even David. But this chosen man of God committed fornication, which was a sin worthy of death in the Old Testament. Was this encounter prearranged and approved by God? Absolutely not. Was there forgiveness of sexual sins in the Old Testament? According to David and Samson, yes. Don't raise your hand, but how many of us have committed sexual sins when we were young and stupid, or maybe when we were older and should have known better? Paul said, "Do not be deceived. Neither fornicator, nor idolater, nor adulterer, nor homosexual, nor sodomite will inherit the kingdom of God." We are quick to wag our finger and turn our nose up at these people. Is there forgiveness of sexual sins in the New Testament? If not, then some of us might as well walk out of church right now. How do we know that the blood of Christ can cleanse the vilest sins? Because Paul said, "And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Forgiveness of sins should create in us a humble heart and gratitude for what the Lord has done for us. Out of a deep sense of appreciation for the mercy and goodness of God, we should be eager to share the blessings with others. Instead of replacing this disobedient judge, God continues to use him. There may be hope for me. The fourth woman in Samson's life was Delilah, Judges chapter 16, verses 4 through 31. Here is where we see Samson destroyed because of his undisciplined living. Samson loved this Philistine woman, but it is evident she did not share any tender feelings for him. Delilah was offered 1,100 pieces of silver to inform the Philistine lords exactly how Samson possessed such great strength. With the admission that, "It is my hair," Samson fell asleep on the lap of his betrayer. One of the saddest phrases in the Bible is found in Judges chapter 16, verse 20. "And she said, 'The Philistines are upon you, Samson.' So he woke from his sleep and said, 'I will go out before at other times and shake myself free.'" Here it is. "But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him." Samson's capture resulted in his humiliation. His eyes were gouged out. He was placed in service as an animal, and he became an object of amusement. Through a lack of discipline and dedication to God, Samson ruined himself and died as a captive in the hands of his bitter enemies. From this story, we are able to identify three weaknesses that led to Samson's downfall. First, his weakness is seen in his failure to avoid evil companionship. Time after time, we read where Samson left the people of God and entered into relationships with the enemies of God. Samson was not acting out of ignorance. He fully understood God's stated will. Samson had been taught right. His parents had urged him to follow God's direction in his life, but he refused to remain true to the principles of God. How tragic it is to see this same weakness in many of our lives. The Scripture tries to impress on us the necessity of remaining strong in the faith. Psalm 105, verse 4. "Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore." Paul admonished the faithful to be steadfast and immovable. Present tense. Keep on becoming steadfast and unshaken, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and we serve the Lord with all of our strength. God help us to hold fast to right and righteousness. Number two, Samson's weakness is seen in his failure to be strong enough to control his emotions. Samson's downfall was not God's fault. It was his own. He allowed lust, anger, revenge, and hatred to direct his actions. The one verse which reveals this tragic weakness is found in Judges chapter 14, verse 3. "Then his father and mother said to him, 'Is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren or among all my people that you may go and get a wife from, that you must go and get a wife from this uncircumcised Philistine?' And Samson said to his father, 'Get her for me, for she pleases me well.'" Once again, we are confronted with a common weakness in many of our lives: a lack of self-control. Have you ever allowed your emotions and fleshly desires to totally control your words and actions, and later regretted the decision? The Bible has something to say on this subject. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32. "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11. The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook transgression. And also Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. How can we gain control of our emotions and the flesh? By putting off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of the sinless Christ. And number three, Samson's greatest weakness is seen in his disobedience to God. Samson had taken the Nazarite vow. He committed himself to following this throughout his life. But he allowed himself to be pushed and prodded until he compromised his vow and the Lord departed from him. We made a promise to forsake sins and live for Jesus when we were baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. How many of us forgot our first love for a season of sin and are thankful that God gave us time to realize our mistake, repent of sins, and return to the ark of safety? There is a redeeming point found in this otherwise tragic story. At the end of Samson's life, his thoughts turned towards the one true and living God. In his bondage and blindness, Samson came to a wonderful realization. God's strength was still available to him. This realization is clearly seen in comparing two verses in chapter 16. In Judges chapter 16, verse 17, Samson refers to his strength as my strength. But in Judges chapter 16, verse 28, Samson said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray, just this once. Chained between two pillars, fully aware of the mess he made, Samson realized that with God all things are possible. The great apostle Paul experienced tragedy and heartache. When his strength was not sufficient, he prayed for relief from God. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 or chapter 12 verses 7 through 10. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in need, in persecution, in distress for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. We need to place our full trust in God, knowing that His strength is sufficient for all our needs. How many of us began the race well, trusting God for strength and guidance, and then life happens? Like the prodigal son, we walk away from the church. Church attendance and fellowship with the saints gives way to evil companionship that corrupts good morals. Soon we find out that the things of the world do not satisfy. It is only then we begin to think about returning home. In the pig pen of sin, fully aware of the mess we made, we recall God's goodness and pray the prayer of Samson. O Lord God, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray, just this once. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I will not hide anymore. I confess my transgressions and plead your forgiveness. What is God's response to the erring Christian? 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The greatest mistake that we can make today is to try to overcome problems in our life without the help of God. Let's end our time with five important lessons from Samson. First, the flesh is our greatest weakness. My mind wants to serve God, but my flesh pulls me in another direction. It does not matter how physically strong or attractive we may be. If our spiritual man is weak, we are in big trouble. God, help us to remember that this world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Number two, associating with the right kind of people is vital. If we keep company with the immoral or irreligious, they will destroy our defenses and we will fall to temptation. God, help us to come out from among all that is contrary to His Word and be a separated people. Lesson number three, if we play with temptation, we will fall prey to it. Samson toyed with Delilah's request and eventually gave in. Such is true with many people today. We walk right on the edge of sin. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 17. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He who keeps his way preserves his soul. Lesson number four. A successful marriage depends on more than physical attraction. Some of the most ugly people have pretty faces. If a marriage consists of love for God, love for one another, and a commitment to help each other go to heaven, everything else will take care of itself. And fifth, one Christian who is willing to stand in defense of truth can accomplish much good. We need men and women who will stand apart and stand up for Jesus. The fact that God was able to work through Samson's weaknesses and frailties gives me hope that God can forgive a sinner like me and use me to accomplish His will. If you have ever asked yourself, "Can God use me?" I pray that our study on Samson this morning has once for all answered the question in the affirmative. Samson is my hero. Maybe he's your hero too. Someone this morning may be asking, what must I do to be saved? According to God's Word, there are five steps to salvation. You must hear God's Word in order to have faith. Matthew chapter 17, verse 5. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. You must believe that Jesus is the Son of God and only Savior of men. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. John chapter 1, verse 14. John chapter 8, verse 24. You must repent. This is a willful decision to forsake sins and live for Jesus. Luke chapter 13, verse 3. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Acts chapter 17, verse 30. You must confess Christ before men. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. Acts chapter 8, verse 37. Romans chapter 10, verse 10. And you must be baptized for the remission of sins. not because your sins have already been forgiven, by saying the sinner's prayer. Mark chapter 16, verse 16, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. After conversion, we must walk in the light as He is in the light and remain faithful unto death. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10.